Merry Christmas, everybody. Good to have you all here. Kind of a little more informal setting this evening on Christmas Eve, and we'll do the same thing Christmas Day tomorrow morning. Just so you guys know, the services are going to be identical. You don't have to feel guilty for not being here tomorrow morning. You heard the message already. If you love it, come back. We won't hold that against you. I just want to share a few things with you before we started the message. First of all, in your bulletins here, you've got this nice connection card here that tears right out, or nicely somewhat. And you might say, well, how will I fill that out? Where will I find a pen? Well, if you'll notice your centerpieces, they're not just centerpieces. If you take a flower out of there, it is also a pen. And you can fill that out if you're visiting and you'd like to share with us that you're here and like to be contacted. That's great. Also, if you have a prayer request or a prayer praise that you would like myself and the prayer team to pray about, please fill that out and put it into the offering basket at the end of the service. Also, consequently, we're going to have the offering at the end of the service, so we'll let you guys know about that. Normally, you guys don't see me with notes, but I can't make announcements without notes, so sorry. I wanted to mention this. Our drive for presents for families who otherwise wouldn't be getting Christmas presents was hugely successful because of this church body. We fulfilled everything that was asked for from all the families from both Bethany Adoption Services and Kingsley School District. I can't reiterate that enough, guys. Kingsley School District contacted us kind of late in the game. But they contacted us and they said, we're contacting you because we know that you're a church that helps people. And I'm blessed to be a part of that. It has nothing to do with me, obviously. I've been here 2 months. But it is a huge blessing to be a church that has a reputation in the community. We're calling you because we know that you help people. And that's awesome. Please note that we have we've got a Christmas gift for you at the end of the service. You can pick them up at the back table. It's a calendar. Please go, feel free to grab those things and don't forget to get them at the end. And I'm also supposed to remind you again, the offering is in the back. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for bringing us here to this area, to this church, to this place where we can come and encounter you, the living God. Lord, as we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, our Savior, help us to not worship you with words that come from our mouths, but help us to worship you within the depths of our soul. That we celebrate and remember that you came and took on human flesh and lived among us so that we might have eternal life. Help us to praise you in spirit and in truth from the depths of our soul this Christmas season. We ask this and we look forward to your Holy Spirit moving us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. See, I'm so used to that. You could laugh, it's okay. Laugh at the pastor. We're going to do something different tonight. See, now I'm going to get used to saying tonight, and then tomorrow I'm going to say tonight, but it's going to be morning. We're going to do something a little bit different tonight. We're going to do what's called a first-person biblical sermon. I'm going to enter the text of one of the characters. I'm going to tell you the story of Christ being born from the perspective of one of those characters. It's a little bit different. It's a neat sort of thing. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. For me, I have a writing and a stage background. So this works out perfectly for me, except for the fact that this sermon that I'm going to present to you guys, I didn't write. I adapted it a little bit from one of my seminary professors, Dr. Don Sanukian. But it was one of the first things I've ever seen like this done, and it so powerfully affected me, I said, I really need to bring this to you guys. So how this is going to work is I'm going to take my Bible. Consequently, if you want to follow along and you have Bibles, it's in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. You don't have to follow along, and in fact, I would encourage you just sit back, watch the sermon, and sometime today or tomorrow to read the text on your own and see how it follows through. But how this is going to work is I'm going to take my Bible, I'm going to put it on the podium behind me, and when I turn around, I'm going to be a totally different character. Oh, it's so cold out here. Oh, man. When it's so cold like this, all my old injuries, my muscles tense up. I wish I had a wool coat like those sheep down there. Oh, man, it is so cold. I guess I can't complain too much, though. I mean, I've got the early shift from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. That's what seniority and having a family will do for you. The guys after me, man, are they ever going to feel the cold? I love this job, though. Shepherding, it is in my blood. It is at the core of my being. And I love shepherding here. On the corner point, in the midpoint between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. You know, I had my own flock once. And my family, my wife, my two boys, my two girls. We had this this amazing flock. We weren't here. We were out in the eastern desert. And it's really hard to find good pasture lands. And so we had to take all the sheep from place to place and travel around a lot. But it was okay. But unfortunately, after a couple of dry seasons, I ran into debt. I had to sell my flock. And we moved to Bethlehem to try and find a new line of work. Now, of course, when I found out that they needed someone with experience to tend this flock here, I jumped at the opportunity. Of course I would. It's in my blood. I had to. We're at the midpoint between Jerusalem, the capital city, and Bethlehem in the south. And we're right in the middle. And all these pasture lands belong to the temple. And all of these sheep belong to the temple too. And you all know why the temple needs sheep. These are the lambs that they sacrifice every morning and every day. Once a day, it's my job to take four or five of these little lambs to the temple for the priests. I like this job. And I like this job not just because I don't have to move around a lot anymore. I like this job because I like being connected with the priest, with the temple. I like being connected with these lambs. Because these are the lambs that die day after day for sin. I've become very evident of my own sin lately. I'm very aware of my sin and God's judgment on my life for that. And I thought about sin and sacrifice for sin for a while. And that's why I like being a shepherd here with these temple sheep, these temple lambs. Because I know that as they get killed and sacrificed day after day, that somehow they're postponing my judgment from God. And they're delaying it a little bit day after day. The judgment that I know is coming on my life because of my sin. Once in a while, I'll find myself kneeling beside a ewe mother as she gives birth to a little lamb. And as I'm kneeling beside that lamb, I find myself thinking, little lamb, you will die for my sin. I wonder what's keeping Caleb. I can see Orion's about a third of the way in the sky, and that means it's time for his shift. It's time for me to be over here. I bet you Thomas has him talking about another theological debate. Thomas is good for that, and he's a good shepherd too. He's pretty young, but he's learning quick. But you know what? I don't think Thomas is going to become a shepherd like me. It's not in his blood. If you ask me, he's probably going to become a rabbi. He's talking about the Bible so much. Come to think of it, there was a night like this not too long ago. Caleb was late for his shift, and I yelled over and I said, "Hey, Caleb, it's time to switch." And I came and I approached the fire, and he looked up at the sky and he said, "Oh, goodness, Omar, I'm so sorry. There's Thomas in here, we were talking about scripture and prophecy, and we just lost track of time." And I said, "Of course you did. What were you talking about?" And Caleb told me, he says, well, Thomas here says that there's a prophecy about Bethlehem. Can you believe that? Bethlehem, that backwater little town, Bethlehem? There's a prophecy about Bethlehem. And I said, "Well, what does it say?" And Thomas just spoke up right there. He's like, "Of course there is. I don't remember where it is in the scriptures, but the prophecy goes something like this. Oh, Bethlehem, though you are small, a small city in Jerusalem, out of you will come one who is to rule in Israel, who is from of old, even from eternity." I was pretty impressed. And I said, "That's right, Thomas. Do you know what it means?" And that's in Micah, by the way. "But do you know what it means at all?" And Thomas said, "Absolutely, I know what that means. That means that the future Messiah, the Savior, is going to come somehow out of Bethlehem, and somehow he's going to rule over Israel, drive out the Romans, and he's going to become our king, the King of Israel." And of course he was right. I said, "That's right." But then I asked him a question, something I'd been struggling with for a long time. And I said, "I understand that about the Messiah, but there's other prophecies about the Messiah I just don't understand. For instance, in the prophet Isaiah, he says this about the coming Messiah. He says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that would bring us peace was put on him, and by stripes which he bore, we were healed." What do you think that means, Thomas? That doesn't make any sense. Thomas just stood there and he shook his head. "I don't know, Omar. That sounds like someone dying, not someone ruling." And then Caleb piped up. He'd been listening the whole time, but he just said, "Okay, you guys can talk about this all night long. I'm going to go take my shift. But you know what? If you ask me, I don't buy it for a second. I mean, seriously, the Messiah coming out of Bethlehem? I mean, it's Bethlehem. We can see it here from the hill. Look at it. It's not much of a town. There's nothing that ever goes on in Bethlehem. The most excitement they've ever had was just recently when Caesar did that stupid rule about the tax roll, and if it was your ancestral home, you had to travel and go there, even if you haven't lived there for generations. I mean, that town is so small, they can't even hold everyone in the inn. I was talking to Barkiff, the innkeeper today, and he was saying that his rooms are all full. The beds are like being broken because there's so many people in them. And he just said everyone's just harassing him and asking him all sorts of questions like, "Oh, where can I put my horse? And what's a good place to eat?" There is no good place to eat. It's Bethlehem. It's not much of a town. But Thomas, I mean, he just kind of grabbed Caleb and he said, "No. It's called the City of David. It's called the City of David because the greatest king in all of Israel's history was born in Bethlehem. And if the greatest king in all of Israel's history can be born there, well, then maybe the Messiah can come out of there too. And look at it." Grabbed him by the scruff of his neck. "Look at it. Look at it. It's not so bad at night." And so we stood by the hillside for a little bit. And we just watched it. We just looked at it at night. In the cold air, silent, quiet. And then I became conscious of this light starting to gather around us. And I looked at the fire, but it was dying down. But the light kept getting brighter and brighter. Something mysterious was happening. And then it began to blaze. And Thomas started muttering. He said, "It's the glory. It's the glory of the Lord." And then this being appeared. This hovering, shining being just appeared. And Thomas started saying, "It's the angel. It's the angel of the Lord." And Caleb was just frozen. And I was just scared. And then this being stood, hovered before us. And he said, "Fear not. Fear not, for I bring great news. Good news of great joy for all people. For your sakes, there has been born today in the city of David your Messiah, your Savior. Here's what to look for. Look for a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And then I became conscious of other voices coming out of the sky. And then other beings appeared from one end of the sky to the other. And I could hear from one end to the other singing. And they said, "Glory to God! Glory to God in the highest! And on earth, peace to men of His favor." And then they were gone. Quiet. Not a sound. Thomas just looked at me and he said, Omar, the prophecy, Omar, the Messiah, the prophecy, right now, right here. Omar, can we go? Omar, please, can we go?" And I looked at him and I said, "Yes. Caleb, stay with the sheep. Come on, Thomas, let's go." And we ran. We ran as you can only run at night. We were hovering over fields. We were jumping over brooks. We were dodging tree trunks. We ran through the gates of the city. We ran past Barkif the innkeeper as he was carrying a load of wood. But we didn't go to the front of the inn. We went around back to the stables. And we started running back there. And a man was in there and silenced us. And I saw the baby. And I kneeled beside him. The Messiah. The Savior. Just born into the world. Soft. Helpless. And suddenly, I understood the meaning of the prophecy. He will be wounded for my transgressions. He will be bruised for my iniquity. The punishment that will bring me peace will be put on him. And by stripes which he will bear, I will be healed. And I found myself thinking, little lamb, you will die for my sin.